I want you to turn in your Bibles if you have them, and I sincerely hope that you do. I want to turn to Hebrews. As we are going through Hebrews, almost literally, if not literally, verse by verse, of this very, very critical, important letter that an unknown author has written to Jewish people, to Jewish people, many of those who have been, have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but because of circumstances in their world where they were living and where they were going to worship Jesus Christ, some false apostles, false prophets, false teachers have gotten in there, and they've really created some havoc in the minds of these people. And so the writer of Hebrews is writing this letter to them, not only for encouragement, but as we're going to see, and you're going to hear me say this again, if you've heard me say this since we began this series, there are five warnings, five major warnings that are included here. And those warnings for those people, they were for the believers, they were for the unbelievers, and they are for us as well. If you have your Bibles there, I want to read beginning in Hebrews chapter 5. And I want to pick this up where we left off last week, and beginning in verse 11. And this says a warning against apostasy, against falling away from the Word of God. And listen to these words of the writer. Verse 11, about this we have much to say. Well, what is that? What is this that they have much to say? The writer is just saying, I told you all about the high priest. I told you about hardening hearts. And now I'm going to tell you about falling away from God and the ramifications, the consequences, if you're even contemplating doing something that. No, by the way, those of you who have already fallen away, you still have an opportunity today. And so you can see the urgency here. About this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. In other words, they're poor listeners. He's saying, you're poor listeners. You got a bad habit of not listening. It's why I encourage us to pull out of our outlines and to take our pens out and to write the notes that God may speak through me to you, for you to remember, because next Sunday you will not even, by Monday you will not even remember the title of this sermon in all probability. So God's giving us all a warning, as the author is giving there. And then he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Father God, speak to us right where we are in this life, as a church, as a family of God, and as individuals, Father, and for those who may be listening as unbelievers, God, may you sharpen their ears, sharpen their hearts, open it to your word, to what you would say to them. And we pray these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. For 3 years, I want you to imagine this. I want to talk to you this morning about a message that I titled, The Tragedy of Spiritual Immaturity. The Tragedy of Spiritual Immaturity. In other words, not becoming spiritually mature. And for 3 years, day after day after day, he occupied himself with Jesus Christ. I mean, he occupied himself. Looked at him, saw him, heard him. He saw the Lord's miracles. He saw and heard his words. People healed, the blind to receive sight, the dead raised to life. In fact, he even participated in ministry with Jesus Christ. And in all that time, those 3 years, no one ever questioned his faith. Not a single person who watched him, who listened to him, ever questioned his faith. And yet, while all these other apostles were growing in the Lord, Judas was betraying the Lord. He was quietly becoming, if you will, a vile, calculating person who was being used as a tool by Satan himself. And Judas was unregenerate. He had opportunities to be regenerated to follow Jesus Christ, but he was unregenerate, and Satan helped him become an unregenerate man. And as we've learned in Hebrews, Judas's heart began to harden. Happened just slowly, but it happened. And it got harder and it got harder and it got harder. And gradually his heart was so hard that even Jesus Christ there before him, doing all these things, pouring out his love as Judas could see in the eyes and in the face of Jesus Christ. Even Jesus couldn't get through to him at that point. And the consequences were that he sold out his Savior for 3 coins, silver coins. Sold out his Savior. Can you imagine when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He had sweat, blood, and tears for you and for him to be able to go to the cross. And can you imagine who was leading that band of those coming to arrest him and crucify him? It was this man, Judas. And the point of me telling you this is Judas and his life stand as a very solemn warning to all of us today. To anyone, listen to me, who very casually professes faith in Jesus Christ. And there are not thousands of them. There are millions of them all over this world. There were thousands of them that the author of Hebrews was writing to, essentially saying it's not what you say, it's what you do is important. You know, as your pastor, in all the years that I've been pastoring, when somebody says, well, I'm going to join your church, or I'm going to see you on Sunday, or whatever the case may be, you know when I believe them? When they walk down here during the invitation and they take my hand and say, hi, I told you I was going to be here. It's not what we say. It's not even how we say it as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a church. It's what we do for Jesus Christ in our following of him. And so I'm learning his story. It's not enough to be close to Jesus Christ. I want to say that again. We can learn from Judas. It's not enough just to feel like you're very close to Jesus Christ. One may even accept Jesus Christ and still fall short of salvation and of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, thank you for that encouragement. Well, it is an encouragement. It's an encouragement for all of us to search our hearts, as the Word of God says, and see if there's any anxious things in me that are preventing me from being totally sold out, a follower, as your follower, until that day that you come for us or until you call us home. You know, every one of us grows older, but not every one of us grows up. I'm almost ashamed to tell you this, but when I was in college and I was graduating and I was about to go into the military, I told my future wife, I said, you know, I don't want to grow up. I just want to stay in college for a little bit longer. What a horrible thing to say. But you know why I said that? because I was an immature idiot. Forget that last word. I was immature. That's an immature statement. We have people today that have all kinds of gadgets. They got cell phones and iPads. And they have all these things. They want more and more of these new gadgets. Why? Because those are things that are important to them. But you know what's not important? This. And this is what I want to encourage us for this morning. And I encourage myself with this. You need to study harder. You need to study more. You need to read more. You need to pray more. You're the pastor. You're going to be accountable, not to them. You're going to be accountable to me. So you see, God speaks to your pastor before he speaks through me to you. Well, what the writer of Hebrews is warning is what we're going to look at today here in these few verses. It's a passage that indicts. Listen to me. It is a passage that indicts any Christians who are spiritually regressing. Now they're talking about Christians who are spiritually regressing. Many, many people are very excited when they first receive Christ. And then the pastor has to ask, did you see so-and-so? Well, they haven't been here for 3 or 4 weeks now. Where are they? I mean, he even joined a church. I introduced him to the church. You came down here and you shook their hands and you welcomed to the church. Where are they? They're spiritually regressing if, in fact, they ever receive Jesus Christ at all. And so he's writing to the spiritually regressing. He's writing to these fence sitters. They're sitting on the fence. They're not making that decision, receive Christ and follow him or go back into Judaism as their family, many of their family wanted them to do. Why is the author so adamant about this? And we're going to see this in just these few verses that we read, but it continues on. He's adamant and he continues on with this very same subject into chapter 6 all the way to verse 11 that we'll look at in the next week or two. Why is he so adamant about it? Because there's great eternal peril and great eternal tragedy in falling away from God. I want to say that again. There is great eternal peril, great eternal tragedy. Eternal is the key word for falling away from God. And all the times that they heard about God, all the times they heard about these miracles, many of them didn't see him, but they heard about the miracles. They heard about his crucifixion. In fact, I want you to look. Turn back. We looked at this a few weeks ago, but look at chapter 3 of Hebrews, what he was writing there. In Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse 12. And this was one of the warnings that we went into to great discussion on, if you will. We camped out on this, but listen to what he says. Verse 12, he said, "Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God." Said it there and he's saying it again. He said, "I'm exhorting you, please listen to me. Let there be no one here who is contemplating falling away from the living God." Well, as we look at this, these warnings, they're to intellectually, if you will, very intellectually, spiritually, intellectually, like the Jews who are on the edge of a decision. Again, those fence sitters there, those who are saying, "Well, I've made my decision. I'm going back into Judaism because I haven't seen Christ. I haven't seen anything of him. I've just heard what you've been saying, but I don't see him." And they had not come to faith in Jesus Christ, and they claim that they made a decision I made a decision, but now I'm beginning to doubt if you really are Jesus who people say that you were. And so we looked at these three warnings. The first warning that we started in this study of Hebrews was the warning of neglecting the gospel. Neglecting the gospel. It just sits on my shelf or in the back window of my car. Or I carry it on Sundays so the pastor will stop saying, I hope you have your Bibles with you this morning. You've been saying that for 23 years, Ted. I'm getting sick of it. I hope you're not one of those. But they're ignoring the gospel, which means they're not reading it. They're not even reading it, much less studying it, much less taking notes. And then there was that second warning of hardening your hearts. There's the seriousness. Listen to me. That's the seriousness of hardening your hearts, allowing your heart to become hard. Because Paul warns the Romans, there will come a point in time where you will say no, 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 no to the gospel and to Jesus Christ, and he will push you into your unbelief. You don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. If you were to push me into my unbelief, there is nobody in this world, to include Jesus Christ himself, who could say, okay, I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to save you. It's not the way the Bible says that it works. And then there was that third warning, the tragedy. That's what we're looking at today. The tragedy of spiritual immaturity. Jews who knew a great deal about the gospel, but they never put it into their head, their hands, their heart, their feet, into their lives, and put it into action. We have those today. Of all denominations, we have those today. You know, I used to hear somebody say, or something, maybe you heard this, well, that was close, but no cigar. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is saying as he's looking at these, sitting on the, well, that was close, yet you missed the mark. It wasn't close enough. Well, there are three things here that I want us to look at in the time that we have. We may not get to them all, but three things because this is going to carry in, as I said, into chapter 6. But let's see what we can do here. I want to look at spiritual from a believer's standpoint this morning, but it also just flows over into those who are unbelievers or those who are fence-sitters, if you will. And I want to look at the ramifications to unbelievers who do not receive Jesus Christ, who do not follow him, and to those fence-sitters and to those who are doubting salvation. Anybody ever doubt your salvation? Don't raise your hand on that. Yes, you have. Did I really receive Jesus Christ? When I went forward, did I really receive Jesus Christ? I think at a point in time, especially when we're new believers, Satan really wants to open up that door and fire that dart. And so you didn't. If you were still doing the same thing you were doing and you received Jesus Christ and you came forward and all those people, why are you still doing the same thing? That's from Satan. That's not from God. And so this is what I want us to look at. Let's look at spiritual maturity first. There's a legitimate period in every believer's life. It is legitimate in every one of our lives when we are first saved that we need to drink milk. We need to drink the milk of Scripture. I often allegorize it as a way of saying, look, and in talking to someone who's just received Christ, I said, look, you don't know what to put in, as a baby, you don't know what to put in that bottle. You don't even know what should go into that bottle to feed you. And on top of that, you don't even, if I put it in that bottle, or you don't even know how to hold that bottle. You can't hold it. It keeps falling out. And so you have someone that comes alongside of you, your mom, sometimes your dad, and they hold that bottle that they have put, as Christian parents, they have put the the food in there, the milk in there, that will nourish you until one day you can say, I got it. I can hold this bottle. And then one day you can say, I know what to put in this bottle that's going to nourish me. And then one day you're not going to need that bottle again. And so this is kind of a common thing. This is expected of in the life of a newborn believer. However, God expects every one of us to grow up spiritually in the Lord. He expects that. He says, you are, if you have had a sincere salvation, you are going to look like my son, Jesus Christ. And it's going to take a while. For some of us, it takes a long while. And for others, there is that jump in their maturity, spiritual maturity in the Lord. But we're all different. We've come from different circumstances. There's different things that God's got to clean out of each one of us and each one of our lives. But he says you are going to be expected to start putting in real food into that bottle and letting that real food nourish you. So there's four indicators here this morning of the tragedy of spiritual immaturity. Four indicators. Let me go through these. Four indicators of spiritual immaturity. An immature believer is a lazy learner who fails to grow. Well, Pastor, that's not very nice. An immature believer is a lazy learner that fails to grow. Look at verse 11. I want you to see this in our text here. Verse 11. Chapter 5, verse 11. And listen to this. About this, we have much to say. No, I got all I say about this, but running out of time here. About this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become, look at this word, dull of hearing. There's a phrase, you become dull of hearing. And remember what I said, you know, some translations say you are poor listeners. You have become poor listeners or you're in a habit of not listening. Pat reminds me of that of every now and then. Did you hear what I said? Oh, yes, I heard what you said. What did I say? Give me a hint. See, we're all poor listeners. Brothers and sisters, it's why I want you to take notes. It's why I want you to write in your Bible, highlight, underline. Because it's got to get into your life. It's got to get into your heart. And so what were they dull of hearing about? Well, he's rebuking them. He's exhorting them because of their spiritual dullness, which means their spiritual immaturity. And that word exhorts is kind of strong in the Greek language. I mean, hey, I want you to look at me now. I'm really telling you this. I'm exhorting you to start eating the food and give up the milk. Or to make the decision. It's not that they don't have mature ears. They don't have a mature heart. They don't have minds, if you will, to grasp the concept that the writer's talking about. He's saying, I'm talking to you about the priesthood that you're familiar with, that you worshiped in the Old Testament, but that's gone. We now have a high priest. You have to understand this, he's saying. You have a new high priest. And he goes in before Jesus, or before God, every day, 24 hours a day, does it for you. And you, by the way, can go in to this high priest. Why can't you understand this? And put it as part of your life. Spiritually mature, on the other hand, and some of you may have experienced this, and some of you know. Man, when they begin to study, they are just energetic. They want to get a Bible commentary. They want to get a study Bible. They want to get a couple of study Bibles. They want to ask the pastor or somebody, what's a good commentary? What's a good study Bible that I can use? Sound familiar? I ask those same questions. Why? Because they're hungry. I want to get this book. I heard about it. Do you recommend it, Pastor? Sure. Or no. But they're energetic. They want to know more and more about Jesus Christ, which is just the opposite in contrast to those who have hard hearts and haven't become mature believers. Secondly, spiritual maturity. An immature believer prevents understanding. Immature believer prevents understanding because he is difficult or she is difficult to teach. And you've experienced this if you tried to share something from the Bible or a promise or a word not to do this from the Bible. Why are you doing this? Let me show you in the Bible. Well, they don't understand it because they're difficult to teach. Look at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. In other words, you need milk. You still need milk. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, I've tried. I just can't teach him anything." Husbands, wives. "I tried, but I just can't teach him anything because he won't listen to me." Well, this is what the writer is saying here. I'm giving you warning after warning after warning, but you got to the point where I can't teach you anything. That's a bad point to be, because I see God saying, okay, I won't try and teach you again. We'll do it your way until you see. You know, all Christians are expected to be teachers, every one of us. Even the newest Christian here in his sanctuary that I baptized, we're all expected to be teachers, to teach our family if they're not, to teach our children, certainly, about Jesus Christ, to train them in the fundamentals, train up a child in the way he should go, and hopefully, when she becomes mature, she'll stay with you and not to have the results that Judas had of falling away, betraying him. So instead of too many lapsing spiritually, we need others. They need others to teach them. And that's okay as long as they're willing to learn. Now don't miss this again, and this is critical. Look at verse 12 one more time. This is absolutely critical. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles, the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. That word again, did you catch that little word again? You know, when I read that and you read that, you just zipped right through there. But that little word again is critical because it indicates that this congregation or congregations that the writer is writing to, they're not realizing the teaching that they have already received. They're not accepting the teaching that they've already received, and that's why he says again. In other words, listen to me, individuals and that church, that congregation has failed to teach the new believers, those who are sitting on the fence, or those who are asking questions about how do I receive Jesus Christ. The congregation has failed. What is a congregation? It's you and me. It's individuals. God says, when I saved you, you've joined the universal church, my universal church. And oh, by the way, now that you've joined my universal church, I expect you to join another church, your local church, so that you can teach, so that you can grow, so that you can be fed, so that you can go out into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they have forgotten this. It wasn't in their hearts. They didn't take notes. They didn't read the Word of God. They didn't see with their eyes, therefore they couldn't believe. There's a third thing about spiritual immaturity, and this is so important. Spiritual maturity is gradual. Listen to me. It's gradual, and it leads to moral immaturity. I'm going to say it again. It's on the screen. Yeah, it is. It's on the screen. Spiritual maturity is gradual. It just happens this way, very slowly, and it leads to moral immaturity. You and I, as a Christian, have a moral responsibility, not just spirit, a moral responsibility to teach others and to tell others about the gospel of Jesus Christ and about Jesus Christ. It's a moral responsibility. And if we ignore the Word of God, if we ignore to teach, if we ignore encouraging new believers or believers who have fallen away or are falling away or are beginning to question, then we are sinning against God. Because this is what He says in His Word. And in our hearts, listen, their hearts will continue to be indifferent to the Word of God to the point where the real tragedy sets in. They can't be saved. Their minds can't be changed, whatever case or circumstances it may be. Well, how does this happen? Again, it happens because of no Bibles, no pens. And I don't think iPads count. Show you my age. I don't think iPads count unless you got one of those Apple pens that you can write on your screen. Another one of those gadgets. No Bible, no notes, no prayer, no listening, no hearing. Where does that leave a person? Where does that leave a church who doesn't insist on this? Well, insist. Yeah, insist upon it. Or bring it up over and over again. Where does that leave that church? Look at 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians. We're all not going to make it this morning, but go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And here Paul's talking to the Corinthians about the divisions in the church. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people. Why? But as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, meaning the solid food. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while I was there is jealousy and strife among you. Are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? You know, spiritually immature leads immaturity leads believers to live according to the flesh. Nothing changes in their life. Somebody receives Christ and 3 years later there's no change. There's no evidence. Well, I'm going to talk about discernment. I'm going to talk about that gift of discernment that God gives us. But verse 11, he said those were dull in hearing. They once were alert, but even eager to learn the gospel, but now they've fallen away. Listen to me, they didn't start out dull. Did you start out dull when you received Jesus Christ? Did you cry tears or did you go home and tell somebody that I just received you? You didn't start out dull. You started out energetic. You started out alive. And then gradually, look at chapter 6, verse 4. We're going to look at this next week. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of this age, of the age to come, and then have fallen away to restore them again to repentance. So at that point, it's impossible. Well, I was on the brink of salvation, Pastor. I was thinking about it. I'm going to go home and pray about it. My wife's been talking to me about it. I'll let you know. I'm still praying about this, Pastor. Yeah, I know you're really praying about it. Yeah, I know you are. Not. Because you got a film over your heart. You're not lying to me, you're lying to God. Don't you understand? God understands what's in your heart. Fourth, the immature believer, we'll close with this, but the immature believer is unproductive and he's unable to teach. Why is he unable to teach? Because he requires being taught the basic truths again. Isn't that a sad situation? I professed Jesus Christ 50 years ago. Well, tell me about the new priesthood. Tell me, as this Hebrew writer is really, and we haven't talked about this, but tell me about Malachi. Tell me about salvation. Tell me how you're sure you can be forgiven of sins. Once saved, always saved, as we like to say. Tell me all about that. Well, what they need is the basics again. Let me get out the Roman road. Let me get out the Bible. Let me show you again, again, and again. And so they're immature. They're unproductive. They can't teach, and they don't do much ministry for the Lord. And the Jews have been lulled into sleep by those false teachers, by those preachers, those pastors, if you will. And they've neglected what they've been hearing, and now their heart is so hard. There's nothing that can be done about it. They need to spiritually be woken up. Say, listen, pay attention to me. It's this critical. The results and the consequences are out of this world. Listen to me. And many lethargic unbelievers today, aren't there? People hear the gospel, but their spiritual understanding appears not to be so strong. And yet they hear it over and over as Judas did, heard it over and over and over again. It was demonstrated. God always demonstrated what he preached. Always gave examples of who he was and what his word was. And the danger of becoming spiritually immature is that you need the basics again. And if you need the basics again after year after year after year, you're of no use to God. In terms of being able to execute the Great Commission, go into all the world and to teach, to be involved in your church, to minister. Let me close with this. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. This book of Hebrews has every letter, to include the seven letters that Mark is going through in our Revelation Bible study. Every one of those letters, to include the book of Hebrews, is not written to you, the individual. It's written to the church. To the church. And what does that mean? That means that God calls men to be preachers. I want to say a call. You're going through that right now. God's got someone out there that our search team is searching for. What are they searching? They're searching for that man that God has called to be a preacher. And this is why he writes his letter to the church. Because you call a preacher who studies, who prays, who shepherds you, and then God speaks his word, hopefully, prayerfully, through that man to you. And so he writes it to the church. Not to you individually. The individual aspect, the application, is supposed to come from the pulpit here. From you. From the Word of God. Using my voice. Where are you today? Are you firmly, absolutely firmly convinced that number one, I'm going to heaven whenever that day comes? I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt because I know the Word of God. Secondly, are you absolutely convinced that you can trust God for that decision that you have to make? Whatever that decision may be, no matter what that circumstance may be, should I tell the doctor to go ahead and take away the life support? That's a pretty tough decision to make, isn't it? Some of us have had to make that decision. Whole point is, God's there with every decision if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And as we're going to look at next week, He gives you that discernment. And that discernment is important to be able to make that life or death situation. And I'm not just talking about pulling the plug, so to speak. I'm talking about the life or death situation of where are you going to spend eternity? You only have two options. Heaven is only behind one door. And there's only two doors. Do you know today? Would you pray with me? Pray for somebody that may be on your heart. Pray for yourself. If you fall into one of these categories, Lord, I want to be certain, but I'm not. Heavenly Father God, that's the beauty of You, the beauty of Jesus Christ, the beauty of the Holy Spirit, the beauty of Your Word. You're always willing to meet us right where we are. All the sins, all the warts, all the tears, all the blood, all the anger, whatever it may be, You're always willing to meet us there in our darkest valley and say, will You take my hand? We sing that, Lord, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me. Father God, from my heart, based on Your Word, based on the authority of Jesus Christ, I pray that if there's one person, God, that is not absolutely certain, that even may be sitting on the fence, maybe embarrassed, feel they're embarrassed if they make a decision now. I mean, God, they've been here for so many years. They've watched online. And yet, Lord, in their heart, they're not certain. And I pray right now that You would make that so certain in their life that they could not help but coming forward and receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Or receiving Him right where they sit or stand. But then sharing it with their pastor or a deacon or someone that they trust. Father, I pray that if there's a heart here today that needs to be energized to read, to study, to meditate, given all the pressures, Lord, we're not talking about hours and hours and hours. We're talking about someone whose heart wants to learn about Jesus. That God, You would just fill that heart and open the way. Lord, if for someone that's looking for a church home, be it here or somewhere else, God, that they would find that church home where they could grow, where they could cry, where they could laugh, where they can learn and become spiritually mature, God. That's our prayer this morning as we stand. And Lord, I know Satan's power to a certain degree, and I pray that if You're touching anybody's heart, God, don't let Satan keep him from making that decision. Consequences could be immediate, or the consequences could be out of this world. This is our prayer this morning, God, as we respond to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as our praise team leads us in God's invitation and respond to Him?